turn in God's Word here in just a moment to find His good word for us today. Right now, let's take a moment to go to Him in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for today. We thank You for Your blessings. We thank You for Your faithfulness, Father. We thank You for salvation in Jesus. Let us ever be mindful of that, Father. We thank You for the home that awaits us. We thank You for Your word that You've given us. Father, today as we open Your word, we ask You to bless it. We ask You to speak through me, Father, that the words I speak may not be my own, but may be Yours, for Your glory and for our good. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, dear friend, turn with me, first of all, to Revelation chapter 3. We're going to be moving to several scriptures. We're talking about our focusing upon the principal thing in our lives. We're talking about our primary goal, our primary focus of life. And the Bible tells us that our primary focus must be upon God Himself. The Old Testament, in the Ten Commandments, begin with, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Now, if we look at that and interpret it correctly, we find that it may mean just a little different something than we've always thought. You see, a lot of us, a lot of folks, have said, put God first in your life. Put God up at the top of your list. Be sure that God is in position number one. And then you can have a position two, three, four, and so on. As long as God's up at the top of the list. As long as God is number one on the list. Well, that really isn't the point of the scripture, my friend. God says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." No other gods in my presence. In other words, there's not a list of two or ten things. There's a list composed only of one thing. There's only one priority on that list, and that priority is God. That priority is worshiping Him. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, when He was asked the question was this: "Good Master, which is the first commandment?" Which is the commandment of most importance? And Jesus said, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all that you are." And He said, "The second is likened to the first, to love your neighbor as yourself." He went ahead to say, on these two commandments depend the whole law and prophet. In other words, the whole Old Testament, the whole law itself, the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, the 900 or so laws that were eventually made or developed by Judaism, all of it depends upon these two commandments: to love the Lord your God with all that you are, not just part, don't be divided in this, but love the Lord with all your strength, all your might, all your soul, all that you are. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him. And to love your neighbor as yourself. So we have here in the Old Testament the admonition to make God the priority, not just a priority of life, but the priority, meaning that there's only one priority on our list, and that priority is God. Worshiping Him, serving Him, submitting to Him. That's the priority of our life. And of course, Jesus Christ the Son, Jesus Christ the only begotten Son of God the Father, Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." It pleased the Father to give to Jesus a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, every tongue confess that He is Lord. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Making Jesus Lord of your life. Having the right focus in our life. Having the right focus within our church. This series of messages is dealing with the challenges facing the church today. And I submit to you that the principal challenge facing any church on any street corner today is to make the Lord Jesus Christ Lord of that church, to acknowledge Him as head of that church. He is the leader of that church. There are no other leaders. Jesus is the leader. There are no other heads. Jesus is the head of the church, you see. Our focus is upon Him. Now, we have dealt with that in the last two or three messages somewhat, but let's review just a moment. We started with the Church of Laodicea over in Revelation chapter 3, and we find that in verse 17, Jesus Himself is saying, you say, Jesus is saying, now this is what you're thinking about yourself, this is what you say about yourself, but you say, I am rich, and I have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know. Now, this is Jesus speaking. You think you're rich, you think you're wealthy, you think you have need of nothing, and you do not know. You're blinded to the fact that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He goes ahead to say, I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. Now, we've asked the question today, is the church of today, is your church today like the church of Laodicea? Rich, wealthy, have need of nothing, and yet your focus is wrong. Your focus is on things, your focus is upon performance, your focus is upon perhaps even missions, as good as that is. Your focus needs to be Jesus Christ. Our focus today in the church needs to be upon Jesus Christ. He needs to be acknowledged as our head. He needs to be acknowledged as Lord of our life and Lord of our church, my friend, today. Now, this church at Laodicea, I believe, is very much like the churches of today. Certainly in America, certainly here on the North American continent. Churches that really, if we have need of something, we take up an offering. We buy it. Or if we need to, we go to the bank and borrow the money and then pay it back. We feel like we are self-sufficient. And that's wrong. That's a sin, my friend. We need to be looking to Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. We need to have our focus upon Him. So I submit to you that one of the big challenges facing the church of today is to check our focus and to be sure we're focused on the right thing, that is Jesus Christ. To be sure that we're acknowledging Him as head of the church. You see, here at the church at Laodicea, Jesus wasn't even on the inside. He was outside, knocking on the door, and said, if anyone will open the door and let me come in, I will dine with him. I will have fellowship with him. Is this your church today, my friend? Is this my church? A church that's so focused on other things, though they may be good, meeting the needs of people, ministering to the needs in the community, being sure that we have programs that will deal with the needs of all age groups in our church, being sure that we're meeting our missions goal, be sure that we're meeting our building goal. All these things are good, my friend, but the good sometimes keeps us from the best. I believe Satan is perfectly satisfied, frankly, for us to be focused on these good things. If by focusing upon these good things, he can keep us and blind us to the best, which is Jesus. Our focus needs to be on Jesus. Our purpose in the church is to acknowledge him as the head of the church. The body serves the head, my friend. It doesn't serve itself. It serves the head. And that's something for us to think about and to pray about and to honestly examine in my own life personally and in my church. Is Jesus really Lord of my life? Is Jesus really Lord of my church? Now, we have talked a bit about Philippians chapter 3, where Paul himself said, I count all things as loss for the sake of knowing him. Chapter 3, verse 8. Paul is saying, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord. Surpassing value, he says. This is the surpassing value. This is principal. This is primary. This is the most important. Of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ. What's Paul saying? I've just counted everything else as garbage, as rubbish, as worthless. My primary goal, one primary goal, the goal of my life is to know Jesus Christ. And he goes ahead in verse 9 and says, that I may be found in him, in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law. What's he saying? A righteousness that is derived from my acts, my deeds, my goodness, pointing to all the good things I've done, that I tithe, that I pray three times a day like the Pharisees, you see. No righteousness of my own, but I may have the righteousness of God that comes as a result of my being in Christ Jesus as the branch attached to the vine. So he goes ahead to say, and may be found in him, in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. In other words, that righteousness which comes from God through my faith in Jesus Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him, Jesus Christ, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And now listen to verses 12, 13, and 14. Not that I have already obtained it. In other words, not that I'm already there. I haven't arrived yet, Paul's saying. But I've got my priorities straight. I count everything else as loss, as worthless. My principal, main purpose of my life, the purpose of my life is to know Jesus. To know him. To know him intimately. To have a fellowship with him. To be in him, to be the branch in the vine, which is Christ Jesus. Not that I've already obtained it, he says. I haven't already finished. I haven't arrived. Or have already become perfect. But I press on. I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. The kingdom, that I may arrive at the kingdom. My destiny is the throne of God. I press on, he says. I fix my eyes upon Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of this prize yet, but one thing I do. See, one thing, not many. I don't have a list of many things, just one. A priority, knowing Jesus Christ. But this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What's he saying? I fix my eyes on Jesus. Oh, I keep my eyes on Jesus. And I'm pressing toward the goal to know him. Not that I've already obtained it, not that I've already arrived, but I intend to. That's my singular purpose, to know Jesus Christ, to know Him in fullness. My friend, over in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, and that's going back from chapter 11 where it talks about those who lived by faith and those who were great warriors of the faith and great examples of the faith, and those have gone on, those are on with Jesus. So since we have this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter or finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he, Jesus, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He sat down because his work was finished as a high priest. It was done, completed. He paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time, there on the cross of Calvary. His work was done. It was completed. So he can sit down at the right hand of the Father. And we see Jesus sitting. We're presented Jesus as sitting at the right hand of throne. Now, one time in early Acts, you remember, when Stephen looked into heaven, Stephen was being stoned to death, and he looked into heaven and he said, "Behold, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand." I believe Jesus was standing to receive Stephen. For to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord. Stephen momentarily was going to be going right into the presence of the Lord, because at the moment where he looked up and saw Jesus standing at the Father's right hand, he was being stoned to death. In just a matter of minutes, he would be departing this physical body, and he would be in the presence of the Lord. The Lord was standing to receive his champion, Stephen, the one who preached that wonderful message there in Acts, early Acts, concerning Jesus and the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the one who preached that indictment against the religious leaders because they had rejected Christ. So Jesus was standing on that occasion to receive his servant, Stephen, into his presence. Elsewhere in the New Testament, even on through Revelation, we see the picture of Jesus sitting at the Father's right hand, the place of honor at the Father's right hand, because his work as a high priest was completed on the cross. So these two scriptures in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and then Philippians chapter 3, these verses that I've read from verse 5 through verses 8 through 14 of chapter 3 of Philippians, we are admonished by the Apostle Paul to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. We're admonished to have one priority in our life, knowing Jesus Christ. Paul said it very well. Paul expressed it so very well. He said, "Everything else I count as loss. Everything else is really worthless. The one principal goal of my life is knowing Jesus." Now, Paul knew Jesus as his Savior. He knew Jesus as his Lord. He was saying, "I desire to know him more. I desire to know him better. I desire to grow in my relationship with him, where day by day I'm more yielded, I'm more surrendered to him, where day by day it is more he who lives in me and through me and less me. I crucify myself daily that I may know Jesus Christ, that he may be Lord truly of my life today. Oh, my friend, knowing Jesus Christ as the priority of our life. And let me turn just a moment to Philippians chapter 3. We've been reading from that, verses 8 through 14, but let me turn back to the first verses of chapter 3 of Philippians. Paul writes, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write these things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard to you," in other words, to remind you. "Beware of the dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the false circumcision," these three things. Those who are teaching incorrect teachings, those who are teaching another gospel than that gospel which I have delivered to you, the gospel of Jesus Christ, you see. Jesus Christ is sufficient, my friend. Now, anyone who's preaching another gospel than Jesus Christ is preaching a false gospel. Jesus Christ is sufficient. His death paid for sin, my friend. So our trusting Jesus, our believing in Jesus, we are saved by grace through faith. By the grace of God, through faith, through our faith, we are saved, my friend, and that not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. Jesus Christ is sufficient. Our trusting in Him, our believing in Him, our receiving Him saves us, my friend. We're saved by God the Father through belief in Jesus Christ the Son, receiving Him as Lord and Savior into our lives. There's nothing else required, my friend. To say that anything else is required is like, beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. What's the false circumcision? Saying that you need to go ahead and do these other things in addition to your belief in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 10 says, if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. That's what's required. That's what's necessary. To add anything or to take away anything is to say that the blood of Jesus Christ is not sufficient. The blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient, my friend. Jesus is our Savior, not Jesus plus something, not Jesus minus something, but Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Beware of those who teach anything other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, his birth, his death upon the cross, his burial, his resurrection, his life today at the right hand of the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord of all, my friend, and he needs to be Lord of your life. He needs to be Lord of your church as well. Now, let me go ahead here in Philippians chapter 1, read verses 1 and 2, and let's look at verse 3. For we are the true circumcision. Now, what's he mean by that? He says we've had our heart cleansed. We've had our life cleansed by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the application of the blood of Jesus to our life. We're of the true circumcision. Circumcision of the heart, in other words, is what he's talking about. Not of the flesh, but of the heart. It's a spiritual circumcision, not a physical circumcision that's important here. It's a spiritual cleansing of our life, of our soul. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For he says, for we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Now, I want you to notice these three points, my friend. They're good three points for your life, and they're good three points for your church. Number one, we are the true circumcision, and we demonstrate that we are of the true circumcision, in other words, true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, by worshiping in the Spirit of God. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 4, to the woman there at the well, God desires those who worship Him to worship in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we are true worshipers. What does that mean? We're worshiping God. When we come to church, our purpose is to worship God. Our purpose is to focus upon Him, to thank Him, to bless Him, to lift His name, to praise Him, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's the number one priority of our life, to know Him, to worship Him. Worshiping Him enables us to know Him better. Knowing Him better enables us to worship Him better. The priority of our life, to know Him, to worship Him. Now, the second one, to glory in Christ Jesus. Oh, my friend, we don't glory in ourselves. We don't do like the Laodicean church and think that we're wealthy and rich and really have need of nothing. Now, that's pride, you see. We get rid of our pride. We crucify our pride. And we glory in Christ Jesus. Paul said, I boast in nothing, I boast in no one, save Christ Jesus. That's my one purpose of life, he said. Everything else is worthless. Everything else I count as loss for the sake of knowing Christ Jesus. So I put no confidence at all in anything other than Jesus. I don't boast in anything other than Jesus, but I boast about Him, and I boast in Him. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. He is Lord of the universe. There's no other name greater than the name Christ Jesus. God gave to Him a name that is above every name. One day, you may not do it today, my friend, but one day every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that He is Lord. Jesus Christ, Lord of lords, King of kings. I glory in Christ. I glory in Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior, King of kings, Lord of lords. That's proper, my friend. We acknowledge Jesus as head, as our head. We acknowledge Him as head of the church. We acknowledge Him as Lord. We acknowledge Him as King. He is the ruler of our church and the ruler of our life, my friend. Nothing else matters, just Jesus. He is the goal, the principal purpose of my life and principal purpose of my church, to worship Him and to glory in Him. Now that's point number one and point number two here, verse 3, chapter 3 of Philippians. Number one, we're the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God. Number one, glory in Christ Jesus. Number two, and then finally, number three, and put no confidence in the flesh. We put no confidence in our own ability. We put no confidence in ourselves. We put no confidence in our church because our church is composed of human beings just like us. We don't trust other men, or women for that matter. We trust in God, and trust in God alone. We realize that I'm made of flesh, and others are made of flesh. And flesh fails, my friend. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, Jesus said. As long as we're in this flesh, we're not trustworthy, my friend. Put no confidence in the flesh at all. Put no faith, no trust in the flesh, but be sure to put our confidence, our trust in Jesus Christ. So we who are of the true faith, we worship God the Father, God the Son, in spirit and in truth. We glory in Christ Jesus, and we put no confidence in the flesh. All of our confidence is in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. How about you, dear friend? Is your goal to know Him, to count all things as loss for the sake of knowing Christ Jesus? Is your goal to have Him Lord of your life? Is your goal in your church to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and to recognize Him, acknowledge Him, and allow Him to be the head of the church that He is, to be Lord of your life and Lord of your church. Hey, that's a good word from God's holy word for today. And I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.